You know, you should take your vitamins every day. You really should. It's something my mother told me continually when I was a child. Take your vitamins. And I said, you're my mother, then give them to me. And she would. I would take vitamin C and D and A and B and W and X. I don't know how many letters there are in these vitamins, but I was taking all of them. And millennium and centennium and flacanium and chitanium. Everything was in the selenium and the flacaps and everything was in there. And for my muscles and my joints, my mucosian, fluclosian, monoclosian, everything was in there. And it didn't make any difference. I still am a lazy old bastard. It didn't give me any energy at all. You got riboflavin and niacin and flyacin and pliacin. Doesn't do any bit of difference for me whatsoever. It's supposed to give me energy and make my blood flow. My blood is not flowing anywhere. My blood is saying, look, these arteries, they are not flowable here. They're not good. They're not good. We ain't flowing nowhere. We'll get to certain places. We'll flow to the heart and to the kidneys and the liver, and we'll get there eventually, but don't push us. My blood cells are not really excited about going through my body. They're not. They want to go through somebody else's body. They want to transfusion something bad. They want out of here, and they want in somebody else. And I know it's the case. And I don't donate blood because I don't want people sticking me with needles. This is my blood. I've spent my whole lifetime with this blood. I don't know if blood is regenerated or whether it's just like a water cooler and it just keeps going through the system. I have no idea about it. I don't know what my blood is doing. I'm not a chemist. I'm not a phlebotomist. I don't do any of that stuff. Then when I got a little bit older, I became a young adult. I stopped taking vitamins. I stopped taking vitamins. I thought marijuana was a good replacement for vitamins. No doctor ever told me that. This was my own supposition. I was wrong. One thing about marijuana is you don't really care about what you're doing. Because everything is just cool. Everything's cool. Yeah, it's just cool. Hey, your car broke down. Yeah, that's cool. Hey, your car just exploded all over the street. Oh, man, that's cool, man. Yeah, it doesn't matter. So I did marijuana for a couple of years, you know, that kind of thing, as most kids experiment with things like marijuana and sex. Sex was okay. Not so bad. Marijuana was very nice. Did that for a little while. And then I became a young adult and I forgot that I was supposed to take vitamins. I forgot that. There were television commercials about it all the time, about taking your vitamins every day. But I thought, well, that's just for television. That's just so they can sell vitamins. There's really no. I took vitamins when I was a kid. And believe me, it didn't help much. It didn't make me develop anything of any sort, of any kind. Then I got a little bit older and this is where I am now. I take vitamins every day, but yesterday I was in one of those pharmacias. Again, we don't call them drug stores because drug is a nasty, nasty word. Don't say drug. Don't say that you have a store that sells drugs. Oh my God, there's such an epidemic of drugs in this country. There always has been. You don't put the word store at the end of that word. We call it a pharmacist. A pharmacy, a pharmacia. So I'm going in there and I'm looking there at the shelves because they're pretty shelves. There are two pharmacies in my world. There's a CVS, which stands for Come Visit Stores, I think. And then there's Walgreens, which is short for Walgreens. And then there's Rite Aid, which I think six people shop in, and I don't even know those six people. And then there's other little neighborhood drug stores, which I think the little neighborhood drug stores that aren't big chains, they're delightful. They're delightful. You walk in there, and they're just so pleasant. Hi, Bob. Hi, Joe. How's everything going? Fine. We got a shipment in of Revlon Cosmetics yesterday. We got Sally working the cosmetic counter. How you doing? How's your wife? How's Sally? She's fine. She's good. She gives her best. Thank you, Joe. I mean, that's the old drugstore talk, you know? That was nice. You don't get that at the big chains. You may know some of the people who work there, but they're working for the big boys. You know, the big boys. They're not. It's not like they're working for themselves. And yeah, we got in some. Got in a shipment yesterday of some Valium, really cool stuff. As I love the little mom-and-pop stores. You figured all the mom-and-pop stores are owned by ma's and pops. You can't own a store if you're not a ma or you're not a pa. You got to be that to own one of those little businesses. Anyway, so I'm in the pharmacy, and I'm looking at the counter there, and I've noticed the vitamin section. I said to myself, you know, I really should be taking vitamins. I need the polenium, the plenium, the flanenium, the chitanium. I need all that in my system. Vitamin B and D and C and G and W and Q. WQ. By the way, you can't take vitamin Q without taking vitamin U because that forms nothing. Coenzymes, anti-inflammatories, all the stuff in the vitamins. And then I'm noticing that there's an entire section. And it's been around, but I never noticed it. There's an entire section of gummies. Gummies! These used to be things that I bought in a movie theater that would stick to my teeth. Juicy fruit and all that other, that's a gum. I don't know, the stuff that stuck to your teeth. Jujubes or whatever the crap that was. Now they have them, now you eat candy and that's a vitamin. What? Yes! It's true. You don't have to swallow pills anymore. Vitamin-wise, you can chew them. They're like candy. Do you know why they do that? Do you know why they do that? It's because they realize that the general public is a bunch of babies. And I'll raise my hand and I'll say, yeah, I'm a baby too. Yeah, put me in that category. I certainly would rather get my vitamins through something that I can chew than putting stuff in my throat and then seeing if the water makes it go down all the way. It's true. So now there's gummies. They're sugar-laden little gum things that have the vitamins in them. I can't bring myself to do it because I'm told, on the other hand, don't eat sugar. Sugar will kill you right now. Sugar, I guess, it's the devil actually has a sugar factory where he makes, and it's a he, I believe, although I've met many women who really could qualify to be the devil. Mm-hmm. The devil actually has a factory that makes sugar and is out to kill people as quickly as possible. The devil found out that making fried foods was working pretty good for a long time and is still quite successful, especially with Elvis. But then the devil realized that sugar might be a better avenue because it's like the cocaine of food, so it can lure you into places. So the devil makes sugar, and now the devil has decided, I'll use sugar in the vitamins. Just brilliant. That is a brilliant tactic, devil. Really, really cool on your part. So the devil's into that now, making sugar. So I was tempted by the fruit of another to actually buy this bottle of vitamins. And I looked at the label. Here's the deal. If vitamins are really good, then there's a lot of vitamins in them. If they can print all the vitamins on the back of the vitamin jar, then there's not enough vitamins in them. If the vitamin jar actually says at the bottom, to be continued on other side of label, you know it's packed with a lot of stuff. Good stuff, too. Potenium, sicamium, all that. Vitamin K. What the hell is vitamin K? That's an actual vitamin. What is that? Kerosene? What is it? What is vitamin K? I've never heard of that. K. Vitamin K. I think I can spell words without vitamin K. I don't know what that is. I'll tell you a quick little story on the side because nothing here is really that quick. My doctor, about 20 years ago, when I was like, well, never mind, it's such a business. 20 years ago, I had a doctor who was fantastic. Fantastic doctor. He was gay. 20 years ago, doctors did not admit that they were gay, but this doctor, kinda, you knew it, because every time, because the doctor is very, very nice. It's the nicest bedside manner of any doctor I had ever had, and he would talk about, I'm gonna go golfing tomorrow with my partner Bud, and it was, oh, okay, fine, I get it. Your partner, I get it. This was 20 years ago, kids. So this doc, he was so the bedside manner, just so what, he just cared about you. He was everything. He was smart, intelligent, sensitive. He knew how to relate to you. He made you feel like you were good. He's really a great doctor. And he swore on vitamin E. I mean, he didn't curse or anything, but he swore on it. He said, vitamin E is the wonder drug of the world. Vitamin E, 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 E. Everything was vitamin E. And he prescribed, he said, Ron, go into your pharmacia and get vitamin E and just shove it down your throat like it's coal. Just vitamin E your life to pieces. And I did. And then I remember about 3 years later going back to the doctor, and the doctor says to me, Ron, that vitamin E thing, don't do that anymore. What? Yeah, they got new studies out. Excessive amounts of vitamin E are really actually harmful for you. But you told me to take it day and night and night and day. I know, but more studies came out. What are you doing to me? I didn't like the doctor anymore after that, because now I couldn't trust him. At one point, he's telling me this is the most wonderful thing, and then he's saying, don't take it anymore. What are you doing to me? You can't do that to me. Great doctor, but that part was messed up, man. That was messed up. I'm trying to find the sugar content on the vitamins now, because they coat these vitamins now, and the gummies actually have sugar in them in order to lure us into the den of hell for health purposes. And no matter where I look, I cannot find the sugar content of gummy vitamins. I'm also afraid that I will eat too many vitamins. Ron, how many gummies did you have today? 10. 10? You're supposed to have one a day, get it? But they're so tasty. And it's got vitamin K in it. I don't know what it does, but I'm feeling okay. Get it? Did I start the show yet, by the way? Oh, okay. Let's start the show.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you very much. Today's program is going to be a little medical, little country, little rock and roll. Right now, I'm drinking tomato juice. It's my newest fad. You get into fads where all of a sudden something becomes part of your daily routine that was never there before. It's happened to me with tomato juice. And I don't know. Well, I'll tell you how it happened. About a month ago, I had a little too much to drink. And I'm not talking about peeing too much. I had too much to drink, alcohol-wise, at a celebration function. Why is it that when we're celebrating something, we drink too much and then we feel terrible? To the point where, I'm never going to drink again. I will never have a drink again because I feel horrible. You just celebrated something and then you made yourself sick. That's what I do. That's how I celebrate, man. I make myself feel terrible. Congratulations to me. It's time to make myself feel terrible. So I had read a long time ago, and I haven't read since, that tomato juice kind of helps you along. So about a month ago, I had a glass of tomato juice, and it was tasty, you know, man. Tomatoes in a liquid form, and I don't have to squeeze them myself. It comes in a bottle. Not so bad. Then I found out that there's a thing called V8 juice, which has nothing to do with engine sizes and cars. V8 is actually 8 vegetables, squeeze the hell out of the vegetables, remove the pulp and the skin, and you drink it. It's like glorified tomato juice, which might actually be healthy for you. The only downside to tomato juice and V8 juice is it's loaded with sodium. That's the other thing that will kill you. Actually, I'm starting to notice everything will kill you. Everything that you like will kill you. Do you like this? I love it. It'll kill you. What? Yes, because you like it so much, it shall kill you. How about this thing? It tastes horrible. That's good for you. Why are they doing? Why can't the things that taste wonderful be good for you and the things that taste horrible be bad for you? Well, that would be wonderful, but it just ain't like that. It's the opposite. If you like it, it will eventually kill you. It's with anything. Alcohol, drugs, foods, sugar, salt, you name it. All the stuff you love. Ice cream, beautiful. Fried chicken, kill you. The stuff that has no taste, that you don't care to eat, it's good for you. Kale, ugh, fantastic for you. But it tastes like eating grass. But it's good for you. Oh my God, why do they do this to us? Who are they? So I'm drinking tomato juice or V8 juice almost every day, but it has very, very high sodium. Anywhere from 480 milligrams of sodium all the way up to 800. This Clamato thing, which is a combination of tomato juice and clam juice, who would have thought, actually has over 800 milligrams of salt in just a glass of it, which that will kill you instantly. One sip, it's over. The coroner will come over, do an autopsy, whatever. So what do you think the cause of death was? Now, look, there's a glass of Clamato right next to the body. Do we even have to open the body up? I think it's quite obvious. Instant death from Clamato juice. So sad. So sad. He was such a nice person. Yes, but his choice of juices. Come on, man. And he loved Clamato juice so much. I know. It was sad. Very, very sad. So I'm drinking this V8. And tomato juice on a daily basis now. It's got 480 milligrams in the V8 thing. It says antioxidant on the label, so I figure that's got to be good for you. Something. You know, I'm searching for something that looks like it's good for me, even though I know it's not great. But it's okay to have vegetable juice every day, I guess. I'm getting my vegetables somehow. And I'm certainly getting my sodium. No question about that. No problem getting my sodium. So anyway, And then I come to the realization that the tomato is actually a fruit. What? Yes, a tomato is a fruit. It's like a peach or an orange or an apple or a plum. And then there's the tomato. No, Ron, tomato's a vegetable. No, I'm afraid it's a fruit because it grows on a vine. Oh, I see. I see. So tomato's a fruit. Now, you don't see people walking around the street or opening up a lunchbox and having a bite of tomato. People don't carry tomatoes around and just eat the tomato as is, like you would a plum or a grape or a peach. You don't do that with a tomato. Why not? I don't know. There's no reason why you shouldn't. Perhaps it could be a little sloppy, as the insides of a tomato are quite loose and fancy free and liquid. The flesh is quite loose. I never thought I'd be saying that phrase on a public radio program. The flesh is quite loose. Ron, did you just say the flesh is quite loose? Yes, I did. I did say it. Never thought I'd say that, but I just did say that. Yes. So kind of freaked out that the tomato is a fruit. I think it should be changed. If they can say that the planet Pluto is officially no longer a planet because there's nothing solid in there. It's just a ball of gas, we found out. Then I guess I'm not a planet either. Maybe I'm not a human because I'm just a ball of gas. Believe me, after a good meal, I am nothing but a ball of gas. Oh, no. Well, if scientists can say that we changed our mind, Pluto is no longer a planet, then I guess we can change our minds and say, well, tomatoes are no longer a fruit. We're going to make them an honorary vegetable. We're going to have a ceremony on the White House lawn, and we're going to make a tomato a vegetable. So there you go. And V8 juice, I don't know. It might be V7 juice now. I'm really not sure. I'm not sure about much of anything, to be honest with you. Oh, I've got to calm down.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. But you need to know that it's okay. We all make mistakes, and we must learn to forgive ourselves. The universe wants us to be happy, whether or not we listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. Nothing is forever, including The Ron Van Dam Show. You will be fine. The universe will try to forget about this one.
Oh, man. Now I'm tired. A few quick words, which are actually very important to me, and then we're going to talk to our first guest on today's program.
Technology moves at the speed of innovation, and today, that's lightning fast. So when you get your hands on the latest tech, don't forget to do the right thing with your old devices. Recycle them. The Consumer Technology Association and its members are making recycling your old tech device as easy as purchasing new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the responsible recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find lots of tips to simplify your recycling, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Television sets, video game consoles, smartphones, tablets. They're all recyclable. Don't let them clog up your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org. You're sharp enough to get the latest tech tools into your home. Now be responsible enough to get your old devices to the recycler. That's greenergadgets.org.
Hello, I'm Ed Begley Jr., and wherever you call home, the sounds of wildlife connect you with a greater family of life. That's why you shudder each time you see woods, marshes, meadows, or grasslands being destroyed. You know that countless birds and other wild animals are losing their homes, the greatest threat to their survival. Among the growing number of threats to wildlife, habitat loss is the most devastating. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust offers a humane solution – working with private landowners to protect habitat as permanent safe havens for wildlife. When you hear the familiar wild voices you love, remember, your voice is the one that can speak for wildlife and for the land they call home, ensuring that it stays forever wild. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, visit wildlifelandtrust.org.
Hello, Gary. How are you?
Hi, Ron. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you. Gary Shapiro joins us. He's President and CEO of Consumer Technology Association. And we're going to talk about the State-by-State 2017 Innovation Scorecard. What is the Innovation Scorecard?
Well, what it is, it's an annual index that we do. It evaluates 50 states across 10 different categories, and we figure out whether or not the state's policies and laws and environment encourage or discourage innovation.
Okay. Can you give me some examples of what states stand where?
Well, we have 10 champions. They're in the top tier. These are states which encourage innovation.
Yep.
And returning to that category are Delaware, Massachusetts, Michigan, North Dakota, Utah, and Virginia. Mm-hmm. But we have four new ones, Colorado, Maryland, New Hampshire, and Washington.
Well, very sweet. Very sweet. Okay. These are all in the north, that sounds like. Is that true?
The new ones certainly have snow.
Okay.
I wonder if there's a correlation there. In fact, so do the old ones, come to think of it. They all get snow.
A lot of snow. Well, okay. Enough
said. I guess Virginia's about as far south as we go here.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of on that line of Mason and Dixon there. But anyway, okay, well, that encourages the southern states to get on board, I suppose.
Yes, it does. Okay. You know, we look at things like whether they endorse or favorable to new business models like Airbnb and Lyft and Uber, whether they're okay with drones, whether they're encouraging self-driving cars. We look at what their internet speeds are, which is very important, we think, for innovation.
Certainly.
We look at their tax policy and whether or not they're a right-to-work state.
Wow. Okay. All right. So, so certain states welcome innovation. How do states, so they improve by embracing technology in a safe, clean way?
Well, right. Every state has strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. There's no state that's totally terrible. No state that's perfect.
Right.
So one of the ways we've changed the ranking this year is we've added, we're looking at whether they protect people from discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a change because one of the principles that tech companies have and innovators is they want to get the best and the brightest from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if people don't feel comfortable or embraced by a state, they're not likely to go there.
Okay.
We're based in Virginia, and Virginia has not been great in that category, and we've worked hard to try to get that changed. But we see that some of, for example, our gay employees, most of them live in D.C.
Right.
and commute to Virginia. So we're always looking for some, you know, ways to even make the state where we reside in better as well.
Right. Okay. A lot of technologies, you know, it takes time for governments especially and companies to embrace technology because it kind of broadsides them, and they kind of need time to assess the pros and the cons. Would it be that the states that are doing well on the scorecard tend to be more innovative and tend to take more chances?
I think they're quicker moving. I think their state legislatures are those that are willing to say, look, this is the future. We have to be there or be a state that's left behind. I mean, in our industry, we look at companies like Eastman Kodak and Circuit City and even now Radio Shack and others and say the leaders of yesterday doesn't mean you're going to be the leader of tomorrow. So there is you just can't stay in place or otherwise everyone's going to pass you. And innovation is really important in terms of just serving citizens. Look at something like broadband speed. That really matters to people.
Yes, it does.
People choose their places to live, even their apartment buildings or homes, based on the broadband speed now.
Very true. Let's talk about drones, because that's a new technology. And I know that some states embrace it, some don't. Some towns embrace it, and some towns don't, because there are so many pros involved, and then so many cons of invasion of privacy, and a lot of things to be sorted out.
You're absolutely right on that. You know, this is one where we say the federal government was slow to get going, mm-hmm. but now they have, like with airplanes, they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
The truth is 32 states have nothing on drones, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Five states, though, are actually encouraging them, and that got them an A in the category.
Mm-hmm.
Two had legislation which the governor actually vetoed in California and Georgia. There
really?
Were bad drone bills.
Wow.
If you over-criminalize drone technology, if you have rules that clash with the federal rules, we penalize you because these are things which could hurt the commercial creation, a lot of jobs, a lot of new innovative services are coming with drones. They're saving people's lives and not mm-hmm. only providing them drugs or that they need or mm-hmm. getting helping rescue missions or finding kids that are lost, but also in performing, you know, what are dangerous human operations like inspecting bridges and windows and things
sure.
like that. So
it depends on the it depends on the application. I mean, it's like the internet itself. It can be tremendously a wonderful change of life with information and access, or it can destroy people's lives. I mean, it's kind of similar.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're like hammers. They're tools yeah. that could be used to build
right.
things, or they're, you know, a hammer could be used to hurt someone.
Yes.
It's like almost anything in technology.
True.
It's not good or bad. It depends how it's used.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for drones as long as United Airlines doesn't get into it. Okay.
Yeah, United Airlines seems to have a little bit of an issue today, doesn't it?
A little bit. It's always something to make fun of, I suppose, but that kind of puts them on their guard, so that's okay. and then the other thing is self-driving cars. I know that that's like really on the forefront, and that takes a lot of legislation, I suppose.
Yeah, so obviously we're heading towards a world where there will be almost no deaths from uh-huh. car accidents. Right now it's one of the leading sources of loss of life. It's
mm-hmm.
almost 35,000 Americans a year.
Mm-hmm.
And states are either encouraging or discouraging or doing nothing.
Yeah.
Most states have no laws or regulations, which is fine, but two states actually have favorable legislation, Louisiana and Michigan, and they basically allow testing and operation on their highways, and they don't require a licensed driver. That's something very important to the elderly and the disabled community,
yeah.
That you shouldn't have to build a car or have a licensed driver, build a car for a driver. In
right.
other words, have a steering wheel, have all the extra cost in there,
right.
and you could add a lot of space if you don't have all that and say take out a lot of cost. The worst states, believe it or not, is everyone thinks California is so pro-innovation,
yeah.
but the truth is they have limited the testing of vehicles.
Again.
And Tennessee, that makes it very, very difficult to test a vehicle in there. They're even looking at a per-mile tax on vehicles, which is something that's probably the wave of the future, but could be harmful.
Yeah, I'd say, interestingly odd. Okay, where can we get more information about this? This is fascinating, but we got time restraints on our conversation. Where do we go for more?
It's a cta.tech/scorecard. That's cta.tech/scorecard.
Perfect. Hey, Gary, good to speak to you again. You take care.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, Tim. This is Tim Kaniskis, who is head of passenger car brands with Dodge and SRT. And he's standing on the convention floor, I understand it. You in New York?
Yep, we're at the New York Auto Show right now, and we're on the radio, so I'll give you a little play-by-play of what you can't see here.
Okay.
Right behind me is the car that we launched last night, the world debut of the Challenger SRT Demon, and it's sitting on the floor, actually, with the front wheels off the ground, because we announced last night that the car was certified by the Guinness Book of World Records as the first production car ever. It launches so hard, it literally does a wheelie.
It really does launch, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. It'll leave the starting line at 1.8 Gs.
Wow. Okay, so here you are at the show, and you're surrounded by these automobiles, and people flock to these things to see the newest innovations, and most of it is not available to the public just yet. Is that right?
Well, this particular car is coming out in a couple of months. We'll have it out late summer.
Uh-huh.
So this car is available. I mean, obviously everything else that we have on the show floor is available right now, but
yeah.
we always try to announce them a couple months in advance so that we can get the distribution and the pricing and everything
right.
settled before we actually bring them to market. So we're not too far off from this car being available to the general consumer.
Okay. Sometimes, cars have turned into like moving computers, and sometimes the innovations in the technology is just as interesting as the moving vehicle. What do you anticipate is to be the biggest trend in automobiles this year's show?
You know, it's really, it's two ends of the spectrum. A lot of the conversation in the industry right now is about alternate powertrains, electrical, PHEV, things like that. Obviously, just last year and now just coming to marketplace, we launched the Pacifica PHEV plug-in hybrid, the first ever plug-in hybrid minivan people mover, which has been a big success for us in the marketplace. We're just getting them out to dealerships now, but the response from consumers has been fantastic. But I'll tell you, that's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is the technology that enables performance that, you know, actually exceeds the performance that we had back in the heyday of muscle cars, and now you can do it with all the safety and with all of the fuel economy that you would expect with the modern electronics. So, you can have a 707 horsepower Hellcat today that gets 22 miles per gallon. Now, 22 miles per gallon doesn't sound amazing when you're, you know, expecting to hear things like 40, but when you put it in the context of a full-size car that gets 700 horsepower, it's pretty amazing to think about.
It is amazing, and that's for power and hauling things. What about speed? I mean, why is horsepower so important and speed in a car and that power stuff?
Well, if you think about it, this is not just Dodge talking about performance. You're seeing every manufacturer really dial up their performance now because, first of all, technology enables you to have that performance without any of the negatives, without any of the downsides that you used to have on a high-performance vehicle. But one of the other reasons is if you think about all of the vehicles and all of the brands, you got over 40 brands in the industry, you got over 300 different nameplates. Each brand is trying to differentiate themselves and make their place in the market. Things that used to be differentiators, luxury, safety, quality, a lot of those things have been cascaded throughout all of the price classes and all the segments of all the vehicles. So one of the differentiators now, one of a few, but one of them is performance. So performance is literally a quantifiable differentiator. You know, you can say to a customer, my car has XYZ, and it's a documented fact. It's not my leather is softer than somebody else's leather or something like that.
Yeah, cars very rarely break down these days. It's just you don't see many people on the sides of the roads like you used to with overheated engines and stuff.
Quality is a given nowadays. Safety is a given nowadays. And to a certain extent, luxury is also a given.
Yeah. I know that, I guess less than a decade ago, there was the move from sedan to crossover vehicles. That seemed to have changed the whole industry. What do you see in the future as the next big change?
I don't see that changing. I see that continuing. We've seen about a 25% shift from the volume of cars to the volumes of, I'll call them crossovers and SUVs, from a three-box design to a two-box design. So I don't see that changing because customers are seeing the utility advantages of things like that.
Right.
But in certain cars, in performance cars, they want that low center of gravity. So those cars are still doing extremely well. If you look at our Chargers and Challengers that we have in the marketplace, even though passenger cars versus crossovers are down about 25%, those cars are actually up 30% during the same time period. So, certain cars are really transitioning over to the new designs and the UV capabilities, but the performance cars are still holding strong.
Yeah, I mean, Dodge was always known as the romantic car. In other words, there's a passion by a lot of car owners to have that car of the past that was muscled up and was a true classic. They want it modernized, but they also want a classic from the past.
That's actually true. We really love our heritage, and we play that up a lot, and our customers love it. And they're very loyal, passionate fans. We streamed our event live last night. We literally had 300 viewing parties across the world tuning in to watch it, and we had 100,000 people watch the reveal of the car last night. We're really proud of that.
Wow. Well, these things just keep going and keep pulling the attention because we all need vehicles these days. You kind of can't exist without a vehicle because nobody walks anymore. And I can't carry things home on my back anyway, so I need a car. Yeah, it's a mainstay. Cell phones and cars. Other than that, you know, we're done. Hey, how can we get more information about what's coming out and what the future looks like?
We have a website dedicated to this launch called ifyouknowyouknow.com. So any more information that anybody needs, they can get it there. They can get all 13 videos that we launched on the car and all the information from last night's reveal as well.
Yeah. I have a feeling that someday you're going to be at a convention and you're going to display the SRT that'll take you to the moon. Well, you laugh, but I'm sure it's the case.
This one lifts off the ground, so we're getting close.
You're getting closer than you were last year.
Hey, that's right.
Thanks for your time today, Tim. Always fun to talk to you.
Thanks, Ron.
Take care. I believe I have exhausted my stay with you today. That's a polite way of saying I'm getting the hell out of here. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Will you join me at some point tomorrow on this thing? Please do that. I appreciate that greatly. A little gift in the mail for you, perhaps, maybe not. I wish you peace.